It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And that's reading from Acts 8, beginning with verse 26 and finishing the chapter. Verse 40. I want to speak for just a little while about the meaning of water baptism. What I am going to say today concerning it, I believe is biblical. I'm going to say this. I believe that this church has it right. I believe that we have the right understanding of what baptism's purpose is. Some people don't. Baptism, the Bible speaks about baptism. The Bible speaks about repentance and faith. The Apostle Peter, when he was preaching that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and they wanted to know, those that heard, wanted to know what they had to do, he said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to agree with the Apostle Peter today. I believe that everybody ought to repent and be baptized. But baptism and repentance are not the same thing. And they are not to accomplish the same purpose. And so those who are proper candidates for baptism, as we have witnessed during this this past revival meeting that we have had, those who are proper candidates to be baptized in water are those who are able to testify of the saving grace of God, those who are able to give a testimony of having been born again from above, born of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you today, and there will be people that will dispute this, and there are people that will argue this, but I intend to stand on this till the day that I die and preach this as long as the Lord will allow me to preach. I'll tell you what I believe that you will do to a person. I believe the only thing that you will do to someone if you baptize them in water while they're lost in their sins, the only thing you're going to do to them is get them wet. That's it. And to be honest with you, the water back here in this baptistry that we're going to use today when we observe this ordinance that the Lord placed in His church, this water back here, honestly, won't even get your flesh real clean unless you use some soap with it, will it? I mean, unless you put some effort to it, let alone cleanse your soul from sin. It just won't do it. It's not strong enough. I'll tell you what, the water that the Bible talks about that a person must have in order to have their sins remitted, you don't get baptized in it. You've got to drink it. And that's exactly what Jesus told that woman at the well. He said there is a spiritual water. And if you knew who it was that was talking to you, and if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked of Him and He would have given you living water. And so, you know, that living water, that's the indwelling Spirit of the Lord. That's what we've got to have. We've got to have that which will cleanse the inward man, and only the blood of Christ is able to do that. And it won't do anybody any good to be baptized without that. Now, I believe that also the Scriptures teach us, and, you know, this is something that's very important to me, and I know that this is something that's very important to this church, and it's very important to the Lord. If you're going to baptize someone and make it scriptural, you've got to take them into the water. And you've got to put them under the water. You can't stand that person outside of a bowl of water and just drop some water on them. The scriptural mode of baptism is a burial in water. And every time that you come across it in the New Testament, you read about people going into the water. Jesus went into the water with John the Baptist, and the Bible talks about him baptizing Jesus and him coming up out of the water. And so the Apostle Paul, as he explains baptism in the sixth chapter of the Roman letter, baptism, in order to symbolize what it does, baptism must be a complete burial in water. And you must put the person under water. And what that symbolizes is that that person has experienced a death. You know, we don't bury our loved ones while they're living, do we? At least we better not. We don't baptize our loved ones until they have died, until they have passed from this life. And listen, we don't baptize people, or we don't bury, rather, our loved ones until they've died, and we don't baptize people until they have died, until they have died to sin and been made alive unto God. And those that can profess salvation, those that can give an experience, like we've heard this morning, of a time and place when they are certain that they came to know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin, their baptism will mean something when they receive it. Baptism is very important because it's an ordinance that the Lord gave to His church. One of two ordinances that He gave to His church. And so we can see the importance in that. Both of the ordinances were symbolic. Both of the ordinances that the Lord placed in His church were pictorial. They paint a picture. They're not the very image, but they paint a picture. Listen, you don't, a person, their sins are not literally washed away in baptism, but symbolically they are. Symbolically, we are buried to show that we have died to sin, and we are brought up out of the water to show that we're going to live differently. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans 6, that we're going to walk in newness of life. Now, we had an example here of this eunuch, a man of great authority. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. I tell you what, there's a lot of people in the world today that ignorantly worship. There's a lot of people today that go through the action of worship that don't know anything about God, don't know anything about what it means to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. They're just going through the motion of external worship. That's what the Pharisees did, and that's why Jesus rebuked them so strongly. And what we find in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, by what you do, all you do is clean up the outside of the cup and platter, but within, you're full of uncleanness. And he compared it to dead man's bones. And so that change must be made from within. So here was this man, and he had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, and he was reading one of the most referenced prophets in all the New Testament. You know, there's more references to the prophet Isaiah given in the New Testament than any other Old Testament prophet. He was reading Isaiah, but he didn't know what he was reading. He didn't have a clue from what we read in this. He didn't have a clue about who it was that he was reading about. This man that Isaiah had written about, how that he was going to suffer, how that he was going to be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, he would not even open his mouth. He wouldn't make any complaint about it. He didn't even know who Isaiah was talking about. Philip asked him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" He didn't know that it was talking about Jesus. He wanted to know, was this prophet talking about himself? Was he talking about someone else? Was he talking about another man? But Philip, thank God for people like Philip. Philip knew the scriptures, and he took those writings, and he didn't have to go anywhere else. He just took what the man was reading, and the Bible tells us that he preached unto him Jesus. Now, I don't know if you ever questioned this or not or thought about this, but I really am not sure where this eunuch had even heard anything about baptism. I mean, the Bible tells us here that Jesus had taken the scriptures and preached Jesus to him, but Isaiah didn't say anything about water baptism. But somewhere he had heard something about it, hadn't he? Because he asked Philip. Perhaps Philip had told him, perhaps, and I think it's probably very likely that not everything that transpired here was recorded. We were told what we need to know, but evidently he had heard something about it, and he must have understood something about it, because he said, "There's water here, and what hinders me from going in that water and being baptized?" This man obviously knew that there was something that had to take place. Why can't I just go in there and be baptized? And Philip said this. Philip said what the church has been saying all through the years. Philip preached the message that the Lord left with his church. He said, "You can be if your faith precedes it. You can be if you believe in Jesus with all of your heart. You can be." And honestly, Folks, listen, I want to tell, I don't know what everybody here today believes, but I want to say this to you. Don't even have a desire for water baptism until you know that you've been saved. Because there have been too many people that have been baptized in water and told by someone that it cleansed them. They've been told by someone that it saved them, and it doesn't do that. And there have been many, many people that have been deceived about the eternal welfare of their soul by listening to someone that convinced them that baptism could wash away their sins. I'm glad that Philip told this man that, you know what, before you can be baptized, you've got to believe. You've got to believe with all your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, whenever we have the right and the proper authority, whenever we have the proper administrator, whenever we have the proper candidates, baptism is a beautiful, beautiful picture. It truly is. And I want to say today to these who are going to be baptized today that you are giving a public profession. You are making a public testimony today before God and these witnesses here that you have been changed, that the old man has died to sin, and that you're going to put that away and symbolize that by a burial in water, and that you're going to come out to give the symbol that you're going to live from this day forward, that you're going to live according to the change that God has wrought in your heart. And if we don't do that, then we disgrace the Lord, don't we? Listen, repentance and faith are something that God has commanded. The Bible says that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. That's not said about baptism. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ has been commanded to all men. Baptism, the ordinance of water baptism, has only been commanded to those who have believed. Those who have trusted in the Lord for the salvation of their soul. And I wanted to share those thoughts today. I know that that's, you know, to most of us here, that's very elementary doctrine, but I want to tell those today that are being baptized, in case you don't understand that, that that's what it means. That's what it symbolizes. It shows that you have, when you were born again, that you've died to sin. And when you're raised out of the water, that you're going to live like a child of God. You're going to live your life different than what you lived before. I would like to ask Brother Strode, if he would, to begin to select some songs and lead the congregation in some singing. I want to ask those today who are